Hey, good morning, prayer warriors. Hey, Mark here. Hope you're just having a blessed week. Let's go ahead and just start off today in a prayer of thanks. Dear Lord, we just give you thanks just for the few moments that we get to spend together, that you'll watch over us. You'll bring us good health. You'll meet our needs, not our wants, Lord. We praise your name in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, so this is the third in series of five of David's amazing prayers. He had many more of those. Remember, he wrote over, you know, nearly half of the Psalms. There are 150 Psalms, and I guess he wrote about 73 that are attributed to him. We've covered that great prayer, Psalm 25, where, you know, it was pray and trust in the Lord. Pray and trust. And then we got into 86. Psalm 86, where, oh, wow, he's just talking to God, his Adonai, his Lord. And he's got such a strong connection with him that, you know, he says, you know, I am holy, I'm connected, Adonai, his Lordship. He mentioned that seven times there in Psalm 86. And now we're going to kind of get to a little bit of a bummer. You know, here's David. In about 1000 B.C., we saw him when he slayed the giant when he was little. He's just a man of God. He's in King Saul's courts, the first ruler over the kingdom. And then he takes command. He's the king, and he's out there doing battle against the Amorites and the Edomites and the Moabites, and he's doing amazing things. He's united the kingdom, the north and the south. Absolutely amazing stuff. And then we get to 2 Samuel 11 and 12. David, like many of us, get lazy. We not only get lazy, we get sinful. And it leads to that. When we fall away from God and we quit praying, we quit doing those things that God has called us to do, in this case, to be a king, to be a leader, to be a great warrior, he got lazy. And 2 Samuel 11 and 12, you know, here it is. It's the story of Bathsheba. Here's David. He's in the palace. His soldiers are all out doing battle. Who's leading them? Well, he's got friends and family and other guys leading them. He is supposed to be out there leading. You're supposed to be leading our families. We're supposed to be leading our at work and whatever else God has called us to do, whether our churches. But we get lazy and we sin. And we know that David, on that fateful morning, in fact, he was overlooking his kingdom there in the city of David in Jerusalem, and he spied Bathsheba down there, and he told his servants, go get Bathsheba, came up. He got her pregnant, but then as a result of that, he tried all of these other ways to make sure that, hey, it wasn't attributed to him, so he's getting deeper into sin. Finally, he says, you know, tells his guys out there on the battlefield, pull back, but don't tell Uriah, her husband. Everybody pulls back, and guess who the lone guy is out there? Bathsheba's husband. And he's killed. So now he's a murderer as well. He's complacent. He's complicit. And it's just absolutely wreaked in sin. He eventually marries Bathsheba, brings her into the household. And the baby was born, and the baby died. The ultimate in sin. The ultimate in sinful behavior. And we've all been there, and what I want to do is David knew where he was at. He knew where we are at on many occasions. And he offered up this prayer, and I'm only going to read the first 17 verses of Psalm 51. But I encourage you to study it. And it starts off. This direct connection he's got that we've seen in the other Psalms, this direct connection with God. That he had fallen down on his knees after Nathan had come in and called him a murderer. After he had, you know, slept with and gotten this woman pregnant. He knows their family. After he knew that he had murdered a friend of the family's, this woman's husband. And he's on his knees. I can just see him now there in the palace. in his opening sentence as he wrote this, and it must have been so hard for him to write this. Have mercy upon me, O God. Wow. Have mercy. He knew he was steeped in sin. He knew he had been sinning. He said, according to your God, he's talking directly to God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, he's calling out. He understands what he needs. He needs mercy. He needs grace. He's repenting of his sins. He says, blot out my transgressions. Blot out my transgressions, my sins. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He's begging. He's got this direct conversation he's having with God. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He sees it. He probably dreams about it. He probably thinks about it. When we wake up first thing in the morning, we know something is wrong. David was in that same boat. He knew exactly what was wrong. And he said, and my sin is ever before me. He's constantly just thinking about these sins. Against you, God, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. God knows what's going on. God knows exactly what's going on. And he knows, David knows that God has seen him in his sin. He said, continues, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. So David's looking for that judgment. He's looking for that judgment, and he's not going to hold it against God. David continues, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, yes, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. He wants God. He wants to confess the truth to God, and he wants to accept that judgment. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. So now he's looking a little bit longer. He said, teach me the wisdom. Forgive my sins. Heal me. Grant me that wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Up until now, you know, he was, you know, when you see all of this sin in our lives, it doesn't bring us a lot of joy, does it? It just puts us on another bummer. Sometimes we just continue on down that path, and we have to call out to God. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Iniquities, that's twice he's used that. My sin, he continues. Create in me a clean heart, O God. How many times have we heard that? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't let me get lazy. Let me be out there what you have called me to do. Let me be doing that. Do not cast me away from your presence. It would be like so easy with our friends. If they sin against us, what do? We turn our backs on them and we walk away from them. But he asked God, don't cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He understands what he's done wrong. The Spirit guides him. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. In other words, he's going to share his sins. He's going to say, guys, gals, come back to Christ. Come back to our one true God, and sinners shall be converted to you. You know, he wants to use himself as an example. He wants to be that witness. There in 14, he says, deliver me from blood guiltness. I mean, he had Uriah killed. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, the God of my salvation. Oh, and it holds true today. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. All those songs that David continued to sing and to write down here in the book of Psalms. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. God doesn't expect anything out of us. He just asks us to turn away from sin, turn to Him, and ask for forgiveness. And He will give that strength to us. It says, and you do not delight in burnt offerings. So there's really no works that are going to get us out of sin. It's only God that can get us out of that sin and forgive us. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Praise God. So here is David. He is in that valley. He's down at the bottom. He sees his sin. He understands it. He's surrounded by all of these people that know of his sin. And he says, God, forgive me. Don't take the Holy Spirit away from me. Let me lean on my salvation that you have given me. I pray for mercy, that I can share the lessons learned with others through song, through my lips. Let me teach others. So he's asking God to restore him, restore his heart. And I pray that there's somebody out there today. There may be lots of us out there today that we need that prayer of salvation, that prayer of forgiveness, that God's going to free us from that sin. God is going to restore us just as he restored David in prayer. Hey, praying for you, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much. Just have an amazing week. Take care.